This is a super extra premium episode in that we're dealing with one of the most important concepts in 20th century philosophy. No surprise, it starts with Hegel in what we might call a misreading of Hegel. This is why we have Borna here with us again. And it's called The Dialectic of Recognition. So I'm going to put two books into the episode description that are must reads if you want to understand this concept. The first is Hegel's Phenomenology of Spirit, which we touched on in the Hegel episode, but did not focus on it. So we're going to focus on that today. And then how it was brought into France by a guy named Alexander Kojève, who you may not have heard of. But all the people that sat in on his lectures, you probably have heard of. This is a stacked, full room of brains. Sartre, Merleau-Ponty, Lacan, Bataille, Althusser, André Breton. They were all sitting in the same classroom. And this is, of any classroom that you'd ever want to be in, I picked this one. Maybe the Macy conferences would be my second, but this is definitely number one. And also via his friend Leo Strauss, as we were talking about right before we started recording, Leo Strauss was Kojève's friend, and he was influential in right Hegelianism, including Alan Bloom and Francis Fukuyama. But before we get to that, we have Borna with us again.
Hello.
Who is adamantly opposed to this reading of Hegel and thinks it's total bullshit.
More or less, but I have my reasons.
So just in case we get too excited, we have the downer here to keep us on the straight and narrow.
I'll try not to disappoint.
So I thought we would start this episode out with a mini game where each of us has, or each of you, has a minute to explain the dialectic of recognition, what it means to you, and why you think it's important. So if you guys are down, I have with me a four-sided die, so it's random. So you can't repeat what someone else says. So whoever goes last has the hardest effort here.
I was about to volunteer to go first, but that's okay.
Well, I'll volunteer to go last.
Why don't you go first then, Victor? We don't even have to roll for it.
Okay. So I don't know if I can do it in a minute, but I'll do my best. So like, this is how I understand it. I feel like it could be a Kojevian reading of the dialectic of recognition. But when I think about the dialectic of recognition, I think about like the formation of subjectivity. And in some sense, I think about like for Hegel, like my understanding is like beings are beings that can affirm and negate the world. And they will encounter another being that can also affirm and negate the world. And this creates like a standoff where they have to, in a way, like fight to see whose like conception of affirming or negating the world wins. And then and in the end, it basically leads to this dialectic where they kind of come to some sort of like reconciliation where like they can, when they get the other person to see their way of viewing the world, then that gives that sort of like in some ways nourishes their own subjective, their own like sense of identity in some ways is nourished by getting the other person to see, to affirm and negate the world that they do. That's sort of like in a nutshell, my memory off the top of my head.
You have 10 seconds to spare. Do you want to shout out your favorite thinker of dialectic of recognition?
Maybe like Lacan or Sartre, which is obviously Kojève.
Okay. Next. I'm rolling the D. It's Borna is next.
Gonna give me a
so
minute.
You can tell me all the ways I'm wrong.
Okay, well, before we start, I'm gonna do this for a minute, but then it might be helpful to get a bit more detailed because it's kind of impossible to summarize this thing in a minute.
You're 10 seconds in.
Yeah. So to affirm the fact that you are a human being and you have self-consciousness, Hegel thinks you have to be able to be recognized by others as being self-conscious, as being an I, as he says. And so you can't do this with objects because objects can't mirror back your self-consciousness to you. They can't recognize you. So the only thing that can is another human being, another self-consciousness. But the problem arises, which is that if you have two self-consciousnesses who are trying to recognize one another, they can't decide who is in fact the true self-consciousness. And so there's a struggle to the death. That's the recognition part in a nutshell.
You're out of time.
That's one with me.
Perfect. That was very well. That was very good.
We can come back to it. Okay. Next, we have a three, which is Matt.
Okay. Well, the way that I understand it, drawing upon the others, is that at a psychological level, all of us have a sense of incompleteness as purely conscious beings. And what we want is to ascend to being self-conscious beings through recognition by another self-conscious being. But many of our psychological problems come from the inability of us to recognize another in a way that's egalitarian and allows the other person to exist as what they fundamentally are. Political theorists will also tend to give a social spin to this by saying we don't just want recognition from other individuals or other self-conscious beings, but from institutions like the law. And sometimes this can create beneficial political situations, for instance, when you recognize previously marginalized groups, but it can also create marginalized subjectivities if you're recognized as something, for instance, like a criminal. In Althusser's famous injunction from the police, where he points to you and says, "Hey, you," and you realize that you're being recognized as someone who's a deviant from the law and being recognized in a way that you don't want to be.
And you finish with 4 seconds to spare. So last but not least, Eric.
I really did get scalped through that.
Well, you brought in the good politics job of it. I like that. All right, Eric, you're running.
Okay. I guess there's two versions of recognition I have in my head. One of them's a relic of aristocratic thought, where they get up in the morning and they can tell family members from servants. That's how they recognize. It has to do with identity, but mostly with distinction. I think recognition involves drawing distinctions. It's it's like a basic cognitive function. And what you build on either side of that distinction is the content of that recognition. So on one side, you have the marked term, which is the term for inferiority. And on the other side, you have the unmarked term, which is the privileged term. And it's unmarked because it often goes unnoticed. But recognition is essentially the cognitive function whereby that distinction is created.
That's time. So who won? Who do we recognize as the winner of the best 1 minute explanation? You win a prize of the recognition of the group and our patrones.
Shouldn't just the patrons decide later?
Yeah, we'll let them decide.
Yeah, the patrons should decide.
We'll vote.
Write down in the comments underneath this post who you think won the 1 minute explanation. I don't have to give one because I'm the host, so.
I'm going to cast my vote actually for Eric just because I like that reference to cognitive psychology. I thought that was kind of a cool update.
Patrons, so don't be influenced by Matt coming in. Yeah. And messing with the objectivity.
I was trying to buy my win with jokes, but it didn't work. But whoever wins, one of our patrons has to cook us dinner. We'll post our addresses. You can send us Uber Eats or something.
All right, you can post your address. so yeah, we are the common thread there is the constitution of yourself as a subject, as a person, but as if from the outside. There's a dialectic, which means it goes back and forth, and you are constituted from the outside. But before we get to Kojève and why he's so horrible and awful and yet so influential, the dialectic of recognition goes also by the name of the master-slave dialectic. At least the origin of it is the master-slave. Would anyone like to tell us the story of the master-slave in as simplest form as you can without using too many terms? It's from the Phenomenology of Spirit by Hegel, his book that he wrote before the book that we talked about last time. But it's a basic foundational concept that really broke the line of identity thinking in Western philosophy, at least according to me.
I'd just like to give a shout out here to PhilosophyTube, if he's listening. and I hope he is, because he did a really good video summarizing this that I send to my students every year, and they've all said that it alone was the thing that helped them understand what the hell Hegel was talking about with the dialectic of master and slave. So, PhilosophyTube, I love you, and if you're listening to this right now, thank you for sparing me years of having to actually try to teach my students.
And we're fucking coming for you, bitch.
Yeah, so if we explain this poorly, then go there. But I don't think you should be promoting other channels on our
yeah
yeah, how dare you.
It's at the end.
We are to be
after the end.
We are to be the final answer of all things philosophy on the internet henceforth.
We've got
to
be the defender.
Recognize patrons.
Well, so why don't we let Borna start and then?
Yeah, who's the slave and who's the master, and how do they meet each other in the world?
And also, is it appropriate to talk about Daddy Dom as a kind of modern articulation of the same theme?
Yeah.
Hey, we're done with Foucault for this week.
Right. Well, before we can get to the master-slave dialectic, or the lord and the bondsman, or the master and the servant, we have to understand why this dynamic arises in the text for Hegel. Right? What's his argument? And it has to do with desire. So self-consciousness, for you to be a human being, for you to have a sense of yourself as a conscious human being, you need to have that affirmed somehow. You need to have your identity affirmed. And you can only have it affirmed if it's recognized by another thing outside of you. Because then you can kind of see yourself reflected back to yourself, if you see what I mean. You have to be recognized for being self-conscious. You have this desire, as Hegel says. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the only way this can happen is through another self-consciousness, through another human being or another mind or whatever you want to call it. Objects can't do this for us, right? So, books and computers and whatever it is, any kind of inanimate object, any object that is not a self-conscious being cannot do the recognizing that you need to fulfill yourself, as it were. So, Hegel says, well, fine, only another self-consciousness. He paints this picture, as it were. He says, well, imagine that there are two self-conscious beings, two humans, two subjects who meet in this sense. Now, they both want the same thing, right? They both want to affirm and be recognized as being self-conscious beings, right? And the way they do this is to kind of relate to the other thing in front of them, the other self-consciousness. But there's an issue, which is, well, if both self-consciousnesses, if both subjects want the same thing, that is to be recognized, then how can they affirm their individual unique identity if the other self-consciousness is equally wanting to be recognized, right? So immediately, both of the self-consciousnesses realize that, wait a minute, what sets me apart from that guy, pretty much, you know? We're equal in this sense, but this can't be because I am the true subject. I am the essential one, as it were. So both self-consciousnesses, both subjects in this dance, in this movement, whatever you want to call it, come to the same conclusion, which is I have to prove to myself and the other person that I am the essential one. I have to show that I'm not an object, right? I'm a subject. Well, how do you do this? Well, Hegel says you have to differentiate yourself from objects. And you have to essentially affirm yourself as being abstracted from kind of the animalistic kind of base desires that animals and have, or any kind of basic existence that objects have. And the only way you can do this, he argues, is you have to affirm that you are an abstracted being, that you're a self-conscious I, that you have consciousness. Well, you have to negate. You have to fight. You have to risk life, basically.
So we fight.
You have to prove your worth.
Let's go.
And I want to say, all of a sudden, UFC takes on so much more philosophical significance. Right?
Yeah, this is Fight Night 0 BC. They're both looking at each other, sizing each other up, being like, I am the subject.
That's right. So a fight to the death, a struggle to the death, will prove not only to the other subject, but to yourself, that you indeed are the one and true essential self-consciousness.